On the wall by the river tank, by some day I
will
mythological. Actually, The descriptions of the Puranas, or the old histories of the universe, are factual, although not chronological. The Puranas record the chief incidents that have occurred over many millions of years, not only on this planet, but also on other planets within the universe. Therefore, all learned and realized Vedic scholars speak with references to the incidents in the Puranas. So Rupa Goswami accepts the Puranas to be as important as the Vedas themselves. Therefore, on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he quotes the following verse from the Brahma Yamana. Shruti smriti purana hi panchara rikriti dhimvina oikantiki hare bhakti bhakti, sorry, utpa deva kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. A devotee of Krishna must refer not only to the Vedas, but also to the Puranas. One should not foolishly consider the Puranas mythological. If they were mythological, Sukadeva Goswami would not have taken the trouble to recite the old historical incidents concerning the life of Ajahnir. Now, the history begins as follows. I think we'll move on to it. Go to the next verse. It's pretty, it's straightforward. But I'll refer to it. We will come back. Kanya kubje dvijakas chit dasi bhakti raja milaha navna nashtasada charo dasya samsarvita dushitaha. In the city known as Kanya Kubja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his rabbinical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. But what the fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all rabbinical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Sudras, whose maidservant wives are called Sudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sweeping women, since in the higher status of society they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmin in youth, lost all his rabbinical qualities because of his association with a prostitute, but he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. Or has just begun the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting of Lord Vishnu's names, as in the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Kalo Nasir, 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 Kitir, in this age of quarrel and prophecy, the only means of deliverance is chant the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective. But it is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Sukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajahn, who was freed from the hands of the Yamadutta simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayana. Parikshit Maharaj's original question was, how to be free from falling down into hell or into the hands of the Yamadutas? In reply, Sukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Parikshit Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with the chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Tam Nama Grahana Dipi. Grahana Dipi. Thing.
in that the sadhus and the guru give instructions based on the authorities, or the authoritative literature of the shastra. And so Prabhupada quotes this from Sruti Smriti Purana Adi Mantura Rikavidhin Vina Vaikantiki Hare Bhaktir Utpatyaya Kopatay. Utpat means disturbance. So something that's concocted, something that's manufactured, that's just made up, won't have authenticity or potency. Something that's... And there's a reason for that. There is a spiritual realm. There's also the material realm. One, in order to extricate oneself from the material realm, one requires a transcendental or a spiritual process to arrive at the spiritual destination. It means it's out of the material world. And that activity has to come from the transcendental realm. It can't be a material activity will only generate more material activities. Huh? And so the activity that gets us out of the material realm, out of the material world, has to be a spiritual activity. So we have to learn that. It can't be generated out of a material environment. It can only come from the transcendental or from the spiritual realm. And that's why the Vedic literature describes the avatars. An avatar means one who descends, one who comes from that spiritual realm into the material realm and that's explained in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinasayacha Dushvikam. When Krishna comes, either himself personally or in his various expansions, then he has a purpose. Prabhupada says the reason why we study the Bhagavad Gita, the reason why we study the Vedic literature is to understand what our purpose is. Life has a purpose. It's not a haphazard occasion. So that transcendental process is illustrated in the Vedas. That's sort of the purpose of the Vedas. Well, the Vedas have many sections, I suppose, many areas of study. This Ayurveda, which deals with health. There's the Dhanurveda, which deals with warfare. Right, destruction, killing your enemies. What's it called? For building, what's it?
Civil engineer.
Construction.
No. Vastu. Right? There's scripture or shastra that deals with the construction of the environment. Right? It's like civil engineering, but based on the principles of Vastu. You know, how to design a city, how to design a house, how to design your office. So there are principles derived, there are so many principles derived from the Vedas, which is just basically how to live life in a way that's harmonious with everything, right? Which is pretty much material, subtle material, if you like. But the essence of the Vedas, and this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of the Vedas is like the green of the milk, right? The green of the milk, or as it's described by Sukadeva Goswami, the ripened tree, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, right? The ripened fruit. So, you know, out of milk, the best part is the cream. You don't get cream in milk these days. They churn it all up so it's homogenized. And then homogenization was promoted when I was a kid. I remember seeing homogenized milk. Ooh! But all that really is, it's actually the way of making more money. But I remember when I was a young boy living in Elizabeth, which was, keep in mind that in the previous town that we lived in, which was in country, South Australia, the house that we lived in, a little place called Francis, we didn't have any electricity in the house. and there were kids coming to school who would come to school, must have been 5 miles, I suppose, miles in those days. They'd come to school on a horse and buggy. And the horse would be tied up outside our place, because, you know, the headmaster's residence was on the property where the school was situated. And the MacArthurs, I think the kids were, came on a horse and buggy, 3 of them. Then they tied the horse up with a chaff bag throughout the day, and he'd stand there all day while the kids were at school and do it at night. Because, you know, in rural India, this is just normal, still going on today, but in Australia it was. So the milk used to get delivered. The milk, the baker, the bread, and the greengrocer in Elizabeth in those days were all of them had kind of like a wagon, like a caravan. It was kind of like in the shape of a caravan, from what I can remember. It was pulled by a horse. The greengrocer used to pull up that side of it. And it's like that in India, right? I remember in Noida, we were staying in Noida the first time I went to visit in Noida. And the sabji wallahs would be walking down the street. Sabji! Yeah, heard that? Sabji! So anyway, the greengrocer went down the milk. And the milkman was interesting because the milkman would, he'd be running like anything between the houses, and a horse knew where to stop, the milkman. And in those days, he used to leave the money out. He'd leave the money out, and the milkman would then know what you were, and you know, everybody had the same order. But the milkman could tell by the amount of money that was left out on the doorstep what was required for the day. I think we used to get 2 pints of milk, and that was, you know, a pint bottle, glass bottles with aluminium foil tops. And on top, there always used to be the cream. So, first thing up in the morning, especially in the summertime, we'd get the milk. And you could have cream on your cornflakes. I remember, it's one of my favourite things, I suppose, was get up early in the morning, get the milk, and get the cream. It was the best part of the milk. And there's nothing like fresh cream and stewed apricots on your cornflakes. You ever tried that?
Not the stewed apricots.
What did you have? Stewed apples?
No. It was just the cornflakes with the milk. We used to take the top off so you could use it as a to flick it through the air very gently.
Yeah.
And it was toast and Vegemite and things. Depending if it was doing my father or my mother. But I remember those toast bowls and it would stop.
Yeah.
And
simple life.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, very simple life. It's still like that in India. So the cream is the best part. So Sukadeva Goswami describes the cream of Vedic literature is the Puranas, right? Because it's condensed everything, the essence. And so Prabhupada mentions here that the word here is Puratanam. Itihasam, the history is Puratanam. The very old histories are not disregarded. Even though they may not be chronological or they're not sequential. But the essence, the meaning of the stories, or the stories themselves have been selected because of their meanings and because of their teachings. Because the teachings echo or reflect or they describe the means, they describe the means by which one can get from the material to the spiritual. And this is important. This is Vedic culture. Vedic culture is, and even Dharmaveda or Ayurveda or Jyotish or whatever, all of these different sciences, the underpinning or the underlying principle of all of the scriptural information is to support the pursuit of a balanced life to arrive at the spiritual destination. And you know, how to use the material to arrive at the spiritual by using the material facilities that we have, because we can't deny that we're in the material world and that we have to work with the material facility. But that's the art of Dharma, if you like. And it's why the avatars and the sadhus and the guru specifically give the teachings and instructions based on the principles that are given in books like the Puranas, and why we study specifically Bhagavad Puranas. So Prabhupada explains that there are basically three types of Puranas. Those for persons in low ignorance, predominantly those in low passion, and those in low goodness. And the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is one of those from the Puranas in low goodness, and in fact it's considered to be the topmost. Amala, without any blemish or any fault. So the story of Ajahnya has been selected and is part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it the story of Ajahn deals with this Ajahn was originally he's born in a really good family, but due to bad association, he lost his Brahminical qualities. They were covered over for some time. But he didn't lose the benefit. This is the important point. Nihavi Brahmana Sosi Pratyavaya Namijite. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how there is no loss or diminution of activities that are performed purely for spiritual benefit. There's no loss. And we see that with Ajahn. Because of his pious upbringing, he named his son Narayan. And really, this is the beginning of this. We're now beginning this story. And why there's emphasis on chanting? Why there's emphasis? Look, Prabhupada says here, the chanting is the beginning of devotional life. Right? Although it's mentioned, Shravanadi Sudachite, it begins with hearing. Devotional service actually begins with hearing. But that's purifying. But Prabhupada mentions here that the process of bhakti begins with chanting. Because when we start chanting, we begin the process of eternal purification. Because it's a science to chant Hare Krishna. And if you are hearing properly, if you are actually hearing, then what will happen? If you are properly hearing, what will you do?
Apply it.
Yes, you apply it. And what did the Hare Krishnas tell us? What do they tell us to do? Chant. So if you're hearing and you actually heard, then you try chanting. You know, before I met devotees, I was reading all sorts of books. I used to go to the Third World Bookshop in Harley Street in Adelaide. And I was looking for literature I was looking for books on yoga, actually. But simple, you know, something that I could do, something practical that I could apply. And I was vegetarian at that stage. I was also looking for cookbooks. And I remember in the Third World Cookbook, I still got a copy of this book. It's called the Yogi Cookbook. very small book. But it was an effective. From that book, I learned how to make paneer. Right? And different sajis and chapatis. I used to cook for my friends, which I really enjoyed. You know, there's nothing like seeing others satisfied from, you know, eating a meal that you've cooked. And so one of the first cookbooks I got was a Hare Krishna cookbook. Actually, I knew where all of the vegetarian cookbooks were in Adelaide. and there were only three of us. Nowadays, if you go to, you know, you go to a bookstore, there's shelves and shelves of vegetarian and vegan and whatever now, but in those days, no way. And but I read the Hare Krishna cookbook, and in the Hare Krishna cookbook I discovered, you know, that you don't eat meat, fish or eggs, onions and garlic and what, you know. But also what I read in the Hare Krishna cookbook was that you should offer your food to Krishna. Ooh, that's interesting. So when I was cooking, I used to chant Hare Krishna to myself, you know, just an internal meditation. Which shows the power of literature, really. You know, sometimes I think, oh, it's just a cookbook. Just a cookbook. But a Hare Krishna cookbook is more than a cookbook. Because it tells you to chant Hare Krishna. And to offer you food. It's not. Which is part of this process. I was suddenly being purified. And I didn't really know how. Well, in the cookbook it says, you know, you chant these prayers. What is it? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tvise Namaha and Namo Mahani Devaya Gaur Pramanitaya Chaitagavitaya Krishna Gaurvitaya Namo Mahā. Right? So I told you how to offer the sequence of the prayers and so forth. And that's, you know, that's a transcendental activity. Right? I didn't know it at the time. I didn't realize what I was doing. I said, oh, this is pretty spiritual to do this. But it has potency. This is a... And this is, you know, the benefit of association. And why Prabhupada put so much emphasis on book distribution, even when you think about it, because in the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, in the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or even in, you know, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, what's the fourth offense? What's the fourth offense in chanting Hare Krishna? Blaspheme the Vedic literature. The literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So even a simple little cookbook is literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, right? So we shouldn't diminish or minimize its potency, of course, the power of those instructions, because they're part of this Shruti Smriti Puranati Pancharatra Pratimpina. Right? Gives us the guidelines or the rules, if you like. And they support, especially, the chanting of Hare Krishna. It is a process. This is the uniqueness of the Sanskrit language. The Sanskrit is a language that is designed to convey instructions and advice and a description of the internal, you know, the subtle development of spiritual understanding. So it has a vocabulary that's able to describe the practice and the feelings and the emotions of bhakti, which you don't find in other languages, right? It's a subtle science. And it has the vocabulary and the literature, right? especially in the literature, that describes all of these experiences that, or practices, spiritual activities that elevate us from the material to the spiritual realm. Of course, that's the chain of Hare Krishna also. You know, it's interesting, Ajahn Sripa was talking to me now today, he's asking about, you know, it's the end of Kartik and they're going to break in fast, and then all of a sudden what happens? There's an eclipse on the last day of Kartik. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, what's the standard response? What's the standard response for this conundrum, this dilemma? Yes, chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Right? This is a transcendental process. Right? And we follow the rules. If we follow the rules, we don't follow the rules of this one and that one. Right? This kanda, that kanda. There's so many. And especially, you know, this is why Prabhupada found it easy to preach to the Westerners, because they, you know, they were interested in spiritual life. They wanted to make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada said, here's what you do. And so they said, okay, that's what we do. That's what they did. They just followed Prabhupada's instructions. And who does Prabhupada follow? Prabhupada follows Rupa Goswami. So the instructions that Prabhupada gave were that, here's the 64 items of devotional service, do that. Right? And so you find in Prabhupada's teachings, you know, throughout the Bhagavatam and whatever, you know, Prabhupada never talks about eclipses and fasting and all this kind of stuff. Okay, he does talk about fasting, but what? A codicil. Right? And even then, a codicil was practical, not starve yourself to death. Right, I try to chant more rounds than you possibly can. But, you know, take some prasadam, chant 16 rounds, and go and preach. But this, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, feed the brahmacharis rice on a codicil, get them out on book distribution. This is very practical. You know, because we're a Bengali. If you can't eat rice, then he's back to your dead man. I remember I went to one of my friends, is a lady from Mayapur, from Chaitakunj, and it's either near Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, his family. And they invited me to their place. He was a Gujarati here, I've forgotten his name now. Brother Pasi will remember, very nice lady. And they cooked, you know, a traditional Bengali lunch, which is, you know, of the cuisines of India, Bengali cooking is pretty special. Got the oil special, actually. You know, when you go to each place and you get the local style of cooking, it's, you can't get it. Because everything's cooked, everything's fresh, cooked in season, from local ingredients usually. And it's fresh, so it's just amazing. But anyway, they cooked parboiled rice for this lady. And I wanted to know what it was like. Because it didn't give me any, you know, being a lusty person. I was looking at what he had. I was playing prayer for prasadam, it was, you know, unbeatable. But they gave him some cardboard rice, big plate of rice. And I said, what about that rice? Can I have some of that? They said, no, no, you don't want to eat that. We're going to be eating the conservatory. Because, you know, it's like rice for the workers. It's quite has, well, not has done this, but it's doing. So Prabhupada, you know, but it's an answer to the type of living in Galleries. You know, for the sake of preaching, don't worry about the rules and regulations, get out and do book distribution. So Prabhupada emphasized preaching, which is the essence of what we do. You know, we have those slogans, what is it? Books are the basis. What is it? Preaching is the essence. Purity is the force, and utility is the principle. Yeah, so books are the basis. Preaching is the essence of what we do. So Prabhupada didn't make those up, but he, when somebody presented Prabhupada liked them, that was his mood. And then Prabhupada didn't encourage us to get distracted by this ritual and that ritual and other rituals. That they're part of, I guess, Hindu culture, but not really Islam culture. I mean, this is what tends to happen a little bit, is that the Indian devotees bring some of their. That's why Prabhupada found it a little bit difficult to preach in India when he was, because people already had their preconceptions as to what spiritual life was. When he went to the West and just presented straight Bhagavad Gita, straight Srimad Bhagavatam, straight Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the nature of devotion, right? Then that's what the devotees embraced, because they didn't know anything else. And Prabhupada appreciated that. Simplicity in his Western disciples. They weren't, you know, he tells the story about the Vienna conservatorium where they teach piano different. And that, you know, the teacher would ask the student, have you already learned how to play piano? You know, try and gauge how long it would teach them. And say, yes, I've already learned. So it's okay, it's going to take long to teach you. Because they already had these preconceptions. Whereas those who don't have any preconceptions, okay, it's going to be easy to teach you. So we see this, you know, when there's a conundrum like, you've got to break the fast, but there's an eclipse, what do you do? When it's getting faster, so I know Chit Rupa spent, you know, most of the last day of Kartik answering people on WhatsApp. You know, they're all going to say, what do I do? So what we do, we respond, we follow Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't bother any of this stuff. Eclipses and whatever. And, you know, the only story that Prabhupada teaches about eclipses is, well, not the only story, but, you know, what's the main story that we teach about an eclipse? Two stories. What's the most prominent?
Lord
Chaitanya. Yes, Lord Chaitanya's appearance. What was everybody doing? Okay, they went to the Ganga, they were taking a bath in the Ganga, what were they doing? They're chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya's appearance is meant to usher in the Yuga Dharma of what? Chanting Hare Krishna. So, you know, if you're having a problem with one of the eclipse, the story is fairly clear, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. and, you know, we should follow the KISS principle. You know what the KISS principle is?
Keep it simple, stupid.
No, we have it wrong for that. Keep it simple, so who? Keep it simple, just follow the Prabhupada. That's what we do. And it has potency, you know, so, and it's very interesting because, you know, there's this tendency in Hindu tradition and culture to go to all these rituals, and it just makes things complicated, and if it's not complicated, then it can't be effective, right? You have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, and in one sense, it is complicated. In the sense that chanting Hare Krishna is simple, but chanting Hare Krishna without offense is not so easy. It is scientific in that you chant Hare Krishna, but you do it with the right mentality, with the right mood, with so that it has potency and force, it has power. But because it is so simple, Hare Krishna, you know, three words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is very simple. It's not complicated enough for some people. And anybody can do it. Anybody says, well, this can't be any good. If anybody can do it, and it's effective, but that's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Why we pray, Om Mahabhadanyaya, the most magnificent, munificent. Krishna Prema Pradayate, one is giving Krishna Prema. How? Through the chanting of Hare Krishna. But there's also science. There is a specific science. And this story of Ajahnil illustrates that potency of chanting. Right? And that anybody can get the benefit. Ajahnil had deviated from his rabbinical upbringing, from, you know, Vedic culture, if you like. Yet, because he made a start, and that influence of his start was, and this is the, you know, really this is one of the benefits of Vedic culture, one of the benefits of Hindu culture, one of the benefits of birth in Bharatvarsha, which is glorified in the previous, in the fifth canto, right? It's glorified. It's because there's this culture of chanting that in the city of Bali, you know, there's the Krishna shop, the Arjuna shop, you know, there's all of these names of Vishnu and names of the devotees, and just by chanting and remembering those names, there's potency. They're not material names, they're spiritual, purely spiritual, and they have potency, purified potency. So, the Shaya Hare Krishna is emphasized, we see it emphasized by Srila Prabhupada in this temple also. Bhakti Yoga begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting of Lord Vishnu's names, as in the Maha Mantra. And then Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, the only way, Harinam, 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 Evakevalam, three times. And you know, in Vedic culture, the repetition of something three times gives it greater emphasis. And then another three times, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. So no other way, no other way, no other way. This is where we put our emphasis. If there's going to be a ritual, if there's going to be austerities performed, then it should be in the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's what we do. This is our jagya. Right? Sankirtan jagya. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Sarvatma sapanam. Param vijayate. It's the purification of everybody. Right? Sarvatma. That means everyone. Snapanam. We take a bath, if you like, after our purification in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, the process of chanting the whole name of the Lord is always, and this is interesting, superbly effective. Superbly effective. What does superbly mean?
Highest.
Yeah, the highest, superb. It's the topmost. And that's this story. That's what this story is about. The story of Ajahnya is about, he fell. He was rejected by the rabbinical culture. He was rejected by the rabbinical culture. And because of his influence, because of the influence of passion and ignorance, he was affected by lust. Kama, Isha, Bhoga, Isha, Raja, Guna, Samu, Bhavan, influenced by one passion. That's the destruction of Dominican culture, some other passion. Where one gives up these, the viti, the rules and regulations, right? That are given. But for us, the rules and regulations are quite simple. We follow the Shuddhi Smriti, the Vedic tradition, but specifically the Puranas, Puranadi, that begin with the Puranas. So there's this emphasis on Puranic literature. Pancharatrika, the rules that are given in the Pancharatra by Narada Muni, right? This is our focus, the focus of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, in pursuing the instructions of Lord Chaitanya at Chanare Krishna. We follow Narada Muni's example, advice and example. And what's Narada Muni famous for? What's he famous for? Yes, chanting.
Yeah.
And look at the potency of chanting. He's able to, by his chanting, travel throughout the whole creation. So if you think that the chanting of Hare Krishna lacks something, perfect it like Narada Muni, you'll be able to travel all over the creation. You'll be able to go anywhere you like. Spiritual world, material world. Concentrate on chanting Hare Krishna, not on any other kind of ritual, fasting, this, that, or the other thing. We do have our fasting, but our fasting is basically, given by Prabhupada, is a codices. And even then, it doesn't have to be nirjala. Prabhupada didn't encourage nirjala codices. Even on nirjala codices, Prabhupada didn't. Some of these things kind of crept in from our world. Prabhupada kept it simple. Because, we know that Prabhupada had such faith, strong faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And that's all he introduced, effectively. And those things are supported. That's not to say that those who are able to, and are fixed in the chanting, don't have to fast, can. There's certain benefits in being able to, because the idea is that we use the time just to focus on our spiritual practices. But our spiritual practice is primarily Harinama, 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 Vigilam, Kolo, Nastira, 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 Vigilam, that's what we do. It's a main. Yeah. And Prabhupada mentions it. Rishi Maharaj's original question was how to be free from falling down into hell or in the hands of the Yamadutas. And so Arjuna's example is given. And what does that chant? Chant the name of Vishnu. So it's coming back to that original premise. bhakti begins with hearing and chanting. Well, Prabhupada says, it's interesting, Prabhupada says, bhakti begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, but then what does Prabhupada focus on? Just the chanting of Hare Krishna, because the chanting of Hare Krishna incorporates those three beginning activities. Right? Effective chanting means you're hearing, listening. And so that means, you know, the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly audible, like, you know, shnigiri, shnigiri, ram, hari, 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 kind of mantras, but Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hearing each one of those words clearly enunciated and hearing, not so easy, right, because the mind goes all over the joint, right, but to bring it back. But then if you do, what happens? What happens when you chant the Mahamantra and hear it clearly? What happens?
Yeah,
you don't know why. You don't know what's happening to you because it's like, whoa, this is something, right? You become enthused. Susukam karpam avyayam libais. And then one naturally remembers. Well, first of all, one's able to see the pure self reflected in the mirror of the mind, the cleansed mind. So, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of the chanting Hare Krishna is like cleaning the mirror of the mind so that the pure reflection of the self, the pure self that we see in the mirror of the mind. So we're able to product some of the Bhagavad-gita. Prabhupada explains that this process, it's a perfection of religion because it gives us direct perception of the self. And in the chanting of Hare Krishna, we see the pure self, but we're also able to recognize our identity as a servant of Krishna and recognize Krishna as our master. And so there's that clarification of purpose. And also when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're purifying our consciousness and purifying our subtle, our subtle, yes, the spiritual identification. And so when we hear the instructions of the literature, like the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which teaches the science of chanting effectively, right? This is one of our main purposes of studying the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar Devotion, our four main literatures, is to learn how to chant, right? Properly, purely. Then when we do that, then we're able to identify ourselves not as a material entity, but as a spiritual entity. Our identification is with the spiritual self. And with that purification, when we hear the instructions of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, we're able to assimilate that and utilize those instructions to perfect our chanting. It's very important. So why the emphasis on chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada's giving it because it incorporates the beginning of bhakti, the hearing, the chanting, and the remembering. Prabhupada doesn't say it. But it's a fact that in the chanting of Hare Krishna, we get the three beginning processes of bhakti are incorporated and powerfully effective. So that after you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're remembering Krishna throughout the day. That's why we have the ISKCON sandwich, ideally. You know what the ISKCON sandwich is? It's probably because you're having an open sandwich.
That's true.
We don't put the top of the sandwich on anymore. It's still broken. But you know, the ISKCON sandwich was morning program and then evening program. And so, you know, we started at 6:30 in the evening. At 6:30, there was a rush to the bathroom, right? Have a shower, put on your dhoti and kurta or whatever, and tilak and everything, and then come for Gora Aarti, right? And everybody would, Gora Aarti was like Mongol Aarti, you go to Gora Aarti. And then after Gora Aarti, Bhagavad Gita class. Bhagavad Gita class for everybody. So chanting Hare Krishna and then more philosophy. So in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, get your rounds done early, worship the spiritual master, worship the deity, hear the Bhagavatam. That's the morning toast. Then prasadam. And then in the evening, a little bit of prasadam, shower, put your dhoti in, put your devotional clothes on, put your tea light on. Because I think, we'd be out of all distribution or out fundraising. And then Gora Aarti, then philosophy. Very powerful. So you go to sleep dreaming about Krishna and Arjuna or whatever the stories are told. And Prabhupada says, this is simple village life in India. Right? Morning spiritual program, in the day go and do your daily duties, at night come home, take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, hear Ramayana or Mahabharata. Prabhupada describes this as being the culture, right? The cultural practice of India that is based on the Puranas or the Vedic literature, basically. It's being the worship, which is basically bhakti, and then hearing and chanting. And of course, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, that's chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada encouraged the Bhagavad Gita. Although it could be Chaitanya Charitamrita devotion or whatever, but primarily Bhagavad Gita. A lot of potency, in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the basis, actually, of so much of bhakti is in the Bhagavad Gita. So, this is why we study Ajahnils, the life of Ajahnil, and why we value, this culture. We value the Sanskrit language because it's the language in which these basic texts are written or presented. And of course, it's described, it's Devanagari, this is the language of the demigods. This is the language of the spiritual world. And it's the language of spiritual culture. It has the vocabulary within which we can describe all the material experience, but also the spiritual experience. That's why it's so important. And why the Puranas are so important, because they're the histories, and especially the Bhagavad Purana, the history of bhakti, really, the application of bhakti, how to, what the principles are, and then how to apply it. And we see here, Ajahnil, he wasn't necessarily an adept, if you like, at bhakti. Right? He followed now. Yet, because he named his son Narayan and was chanting the name of Krishna, he got a second chance. So we have that book, what's it called? The Second Chance, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Second Chance. My advice is don't. Well, don't go for the second chance. Try to do the first. Make it. Although, you know, would you see that? I mentioned this the other day, you know, would you see that with the devotees? They start chanting Hare Krishna, they get inspired, but then they kind of ease off a little bit sometimes, but no, we shouldn't do that. That's why the, you know, the ISKCON sandwich is important. We should become adept at eating the ISKCON sandwich. Sadhana, seva, more sadhana. For a pure heart. And then with a pure heart we can chant. That's really what it's all about. Chanting purely with attention, with focus and attention. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Sandrika. Is transcendental. Right? And so when we accept the holy name, effectively we've already taken initiation. You know, there's a letter, a very interesting letter where Prabhupada says that when you've accepted Lord Chaitanya's mission, then that's your initiation. Right? Now that's not to diminish initiation, by the way, because initiation is important. And there's benefits from initiation, because there's a purification of the yajna, right? And the taking of vows. And of course, you know, adhering to, sticking to those vows. So there's benefit that comes from that, from the initiation yajna, you know, it's a sacrifice. So, but, you know, we don't actually receive the holy name from the spiritual master when we take initiation. We already got it. Right? We already got the holy name. And here's an interesting example. The potency of books. Right? Well, not even books. I got the Maha Mantra given to me on a card, which was an invitation to the Sunday feast. That's how I learned to chant Hare Krishna. I stuck that card up on my pin-up board. And, you know, along with the Beatles and the Who and everybody else who was there, you know, Holden Motorcars and whatever it was, I was 16-year-old. Right, but I had my mantra. And I was interested in meditation, you know, I wanted to know what was, and I... So I learned to chant Hare Krishna from a card. Right? So, that's why Prabhupada says, the holy name initiates itself. Because I got the Maha Mantra from a devotee on the street in Rundle Mall. Really, before I ever met a devotee or got a book, even. I remember walking down the the street and I saw the devotee and I thought, he's going to ask me for money, so I said, German, I'm not going to give him any money. You know, he's going to give me some money. But then he shot me, just gave me the card. Completely disarmed me. So he didn't take from me, he gave me. But he gave me the most valuable gift. The most valuable gift. And I didn't realise at the time that I took it home and stuck it up on the pin-up board. And then later on, you know, over time I learnt. Interesting thing, there was another thing that happened to me as well. When I was 18, I was 18 by that stage, I guess. Yeah. And we were living in a high-rise apartment house on the corner of Road Terrace and the main off road. It was going to be knocked down so they could widen the intersection. And we were living in this huge man, it was a mansion. Huge. Rooms and everything. $20 a week. Just amazing. Because $20 was worth a lot more in those days. But anyway, look at this guy. And he was, for some reason or other, I chose to live with some of the most out of the people. This is that stage of my career. This fellow gave me a picture cut off of the Bactagonia magazine. No, it was the back of the Bactagonia magazine. And it was Subbuj. It's that picture of Subbuj. That picture, you know, I had the Mahamantra, the card, and I had this picture of Subbuj. And I used to wake up in the morning and I'd see that picture. And I looked at it and I think, I really like the picture. I was very attracted to that picture. And I used to look at it and think, what is going on here? This, well, six arms. And this, you know, what does it mean? What is it? So, you know, in different ways, Krishna introduces himself. Through the devotees, right? But the Mahamantra especially, it can come to us in a variety of ways. And I used to hear the chanting on the streets. And I was, you'd hear it. What's that? Then you hear the mantra and around them. See the devotees, whoa, what are these guys up to? But it was the mantra that was so attractive. So we have already, and Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada mentions how, we teach this in the disciple course, how the guru should test the disciple, right, before he initiates. And the disciple should test the guru. Prabhupada said we should accept the bona fide spiritual master. So the disciple is meant to test the guru as well. And so they live together, Prabhupada says they should live together. Right? And the way Prabhupada did that, because Prabhupada, in the heyday of his preaching, Prabhupada barely spent, 3 days, a week in one place, and then he was off, gone. But yet he was the initiating guru for the whole of his time. So Prabhupada set up a system so that if somebody wanted to be initiated, then he would have his local leaders test his future disciples. So he gave the responsibility of testing his future disciples to the temple president. And, he wanted somebody to demonstrate their ability to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds for at least 6 months before he would initiate them. That was his way of testing his disciples. He would have him, even at initiation, in the later years, Prabhupada used to chant on the beads and send them to the devotees with their names. But eventually, Prabhupada didn't even do that. He would send the names, but he would get the local GPC or the local temple president to chant on the beads. Right? And then they would give, Prabhupada would choose the name, they would give the name, but the local lady would chant on the beads and give them to the disciple. So this is the way that Prabhupada set up a practical testing process for his disciples. So we don't effectively, or we didn't effectively, don't effectively get the holy name given to us by our initiating guru. Right? But we do actually get that holy name through Prabhupada and through the spiritual master from the devotees who are following, you know, Prabhupada's instructions. So it's, you know, it's the parampara system. And so it still has potency. It's not that, oh, I didn't get, you know, Prabhupada didn't chant my beads, my guru didn't chant my beads, oh, they're not good enough. No, the instructions coming from Prabhupada through the parampara, chant Hare Krishna, through Lord Chaitanya. Right? And even though we may get the holy name from somebody else, it's following in that line. And ours is not a diksha line, it's a siksha line. Or diksha's there, but it's following the instructions. And when you follow the instructions of the parampara, you're connected to the parampara. Right? So this is why the, you know, the initiation begins when we start chanting Hare Krishna. We're connected to the parampara as we're following that. That spiritual mind. So even if it hasn't come directly from Prabhupada, it's coming through an intermediary, it still has the same potency. Right? Just like, you know, if you stick your electrical device into the power point and switch it on, it's as good as being connected to the power station, even though the power station may be a long way away. You're connected. Well, you know, stick your fingers in the power point to see whether you're connected or not, you know. You'll feel it. You'll feel the potency. So we feel the potency because we're connected to the parampara. We're connected to the parampara. Because we've got the instruction of chanting Hare Krishna from his disciple, or from a disciple of his disciple, it doesn't matter, the potency is still there. Right? So, the initiation is the confirmation, and the official, you know, the official recognition from Krishna, okay, yes, you're in. Right? And so there is a surcharge, if you like, of potency comes from the initiation. Yes. But and recognition of the practice. But we've already been practicing and cultivating, preparing for that point. So that from there we can go move on, you know, further in the clearing stage of chanting. That's part of the prayaschitta. If there is prayaschitta for the bhakti yogis, it's that's one of them. Is it that preparation? Prabhupada likens it to the cultivation of the field, the ploughing, you know, putting in the fertilizer, whatever, getting it ready for them planting the seed. And the seed of bhakti then is, you know, officially planted in the initiation. So we can describe it like that, but actually the seed, Shravanadi, the seed comes from the hearing. Sudhachite, beginning the process of bhakti, beginning with hearing. That's that verse. What is it? Krishna, Nitya Siddha, the eternal perfection of Krishna praying resides within the heart of everybody. It's already there, actually. But with the purification of consciousness that starts with the hearing process. The purification of bhakti, allows that Krishna plane to rise up. It's already there, but it rises up as we affect our chanting. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Any thoughts, John?
I was only going to ask you, what's happening with crossways? What are you looking to
do? What's happening with crossways? Well, that's a highly elevated and spiritual topic. What's happening in crossways? We're tightening up all the loose ends. We've got an appointment with the health department inspector. There may be some things that they require us to do that are not yet complete. Our goal was to finish them off in this week so that we can open the week after. Yeah. That's an optional, that's the idea, but it really depends. There's a problem with the grease trap. There's a very old grease trap there, and that may require a new cup. Needs to be tweaking, so we'll see how that goes. So, very, very close. Gopas is open, Radhas is open. Gopas is steadily increasing. Radhas pretty much running, full tilt, which is pretty good. And we're opening Wednesday. We're going to set our campus limit to 100 people. No bookings, but we'll still be checking for double vaccination and getting people to wear masks. Yeah, the temple is a high risk area. People chanting and dancing and all that. And close risk. So with a 1 meter wall we can fit about 100 people in here, but people don't necessarily always follow that. So that's why we want to enforce wearing masks, because that's the safest. We've got to keep our staff safe. And people to visit as safe as possible. There's cases of COVID in our community already. It's going to pan out all over Australia. The children are spreading it. It's in the schools, or we've discovered at the karate club, right? And so from the kids, it gets to the parents. Doesn't take much to get around. So we can do what we like. It's not quite that simple. So, 100 limit, canvas limit. And so, if you're in up to the level of 100, you're okay. But then if you're at the front gate, and there's 100 already in, you have to wait. Yeah. Right, which is what happens in shops. But that's based on the number of people we can fit in the temple room or in the shop or at any one time. Somewhat safely, right? But there's no guarantees in any situation, because the more it's just really tricky. So, and then we'll test it. It's not cast in stone, but we'll see how things go. And then if things are going smoothly, we may up that to 150 or whatever. Because, you know, we were getting 600 people to the Sunday feast. 400 for the Saturday feast. And of course, that's spread out over time. So we could still conceivably do that, just keep the number of people on campus so that they were capped. And play by ear a little bit. And see how it pans out in the community too, see how much of COVID is getting around. Because, you know, the children had it, some of the parents got it, the parents had a meeting, some of the grandchildren went to the meeting. Fortunately, the grandchildren went to Canberra. So they're now stuck in a motel, but their primary contacts were tested negative, fortunately. And very interesting, the devotees, there were some devotees had a get together last weekend, and a few of the women voted, but none of them, for some reason we can't quite work it out. But the women, maybe the ladies are talking more, but that's unlikely. You know, the men say, oh, you're just, you know, the men are yammering away, right? And then the women are talking, and then the men say, oh, you're always talking, forgetting the fact that they would just sit there talking as well. But anyway, for some reason, the men didn't get it, but the women did. Although there are men who did get it and have got it in other circumstances, so we do have to be a little bit careful. And mainly because, two reasons, we want to keep our own people, you know, safe, but we also want to keep the deep worship going. We don't want to, you know, get into a situation where our pujaris are ill and can't do the puja, I think. We don't want to get in that situation. Although we probably could manage it, but you know, there's dozens of services that have to be covered, and that's a bit of a nightmare for the managers. So that's why we want to try and keep people protected as much as practical or as possible. Make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, congratulations, I'm Dr. Tanki Jensen, Prabhupada Kajari, you are about to bring these out. Hare Krishna.